come and be our guest on this day. And I hope you'll come back tomorrow as well. And if you would, whether you're here for the first time today or you're here all the time, please let us know that you've spent this time with us. You can do that by filling out the connection card that's in your bulletin. And a little bit later in the service, just place those in the offering plates as they come by. Today, our Mission Box opportunity to bless the lives of others is for Welcoming Gainesville, an organization here in our community that is committed to valuing the sacred worth of every person's life in our community. And so you can read more about their work in the bulletin. And if you'd like to make an offering to support that mission, you can do so at any of the wooden boxes that you see as you go out the exit doors today. Well, again, welcome as you come in and gather in this space. May you sense God's presence greeting you warmly. And I invite you to take a moment to greet one another warmly as well. But before you do, welcome home. Let's stand and share God's love with one another now.
Good morning. We're so glad you're here. Why don't you join us in singing Go Tell It on the Mountain?
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in that blessed Christmas morn, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. One more time. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and
on this last Sunday of Advent, as we prepare for the lighting of the Advent candles, the candles of hope and peace and joy and love, I invite you to join me in this responsive reading. God's love has been made known among us, for God has sent Christ into the world that all people might live. My friends, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us. Let us worship God and seek to love as God loves us. baptism this morning with the Light family and the Forget Playwright family. So we invite TJ and Leah and Big Brother Trace and their family for the baptism of Harper, and then Eric and Brittany and their family and friends for the baptism of Declan.
Family around. It is great when there's a lot of family around to help in the celebration of baptism. Such a wonderful sign of love and support, both for the child and for the parents as they raise them. And so we are delighted that so many of you are able to be here today. And you all might recognize another familiar face up here with us today. Thankfully, he was here to help out opening the baptismal font just now. But Aaron Russo, who most of you know, was one of your pastors, and we're delighted to have him back and asked him to help us with this morning because it was about 2 years ago, right? Just a little over 2 years ago that he actually performed the wedding ceremony for Brittany and Eric. And so he's going to participate today in the baptism as well. But Brittany and Eric and Leah and TJ, what a privilege it is today to welcome you and to celebrate this time with you. I'm going to ask you as a parent these questions of Christian faith, and you can just respond to each of them with the words, I do. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And as you bring Declan and Harper today, will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And family, here's your turn. And godparents, I know we've got some godparents over here somewhere. So let me invite you to join in this time of support and celebration by responding to this next question by saying, I will. Will all of you who have come to support these children and their parents continue to support and encourage and nurture them in their Christian life? Thank you.
As we baptize, we use water as a sign of God's grace, an outward and visible sign of that inward and spiritual grace of baptism. And so I invite you now to bow your heads and pray with me. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in His final victory. Through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And I'm going to suffer. Oh, Trace is going to... Yay.
Happy Halloween.
He presents Harper Helen. always a privilege when they look right into your eyes, as Harper did when she sang that to us. What a privilege and honor. Now I'm going to invite all of you to gather around family, reach in and try to put a hand on Harper or on somebody who's got a hand on Harper.
Harper, may the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live and grow as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I guess I'll set that right there then. Hi, Declan. Gather around him and lay a hand on him or someone close to him, and Aaron's going to come and offer a blessing for us. Friends, will you join in welcoming these children and giving thanks and offering your support and commitment as well? Would you join in these words? We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith in mission. May God bless you always.
Thank you all for your love and support to these children as we celebrate their baptism today and throughout their time as children and youth growing up here at Trinity.
And Merry Christmas.
Continue with a time of prayer this morning. Of course, we ask you to pray for these two children and their families, to pray for Harper and to pray for Declan, that God will continue to be present in their lives and that they will come to recognize and follow God as they grow in their life and faith. I know that many of you have other things that you are celebrating. You may have family here with you this morning, in from out of town. You may be headed out of town after this to go and be with family and friends and celebrate Christmas. And I'm grateful for those opportunities for all of us. I also invite you to remember those folks who are in special need of prayer. Some of the names of those folks are on the screens this morning, so please continue to hold them in prayer. I also invite you to remember the McMillan family, Marv and Nancy McMillan's grandson, the son of Tom, their son, passed away unexpectedly this week. And you may remember just a couple of weeks ago, Marvin Nancy's daughter, Julia, her step-grandson was killed in an automobile accident. So please hold the McMillans, the whole family, and Julia Girolamo in your prayers this morning as well. So as we pray, I'll invite you to spend a few moments in silent prayer, lifting up to God those things that are on your hearts and minds, and then I'll lead us in prayer. We come to worship once again this morning, just 2 days before Christmas. As the Christmas trees are lighted and we rush to finish shopping or get groceries, as Christmas carols are heard everywhere, keep us close to you. Even though there may be much to do and the pace is hectic, may our minds and attitudes reflect your grace and love in our lives. Keep us from speaking without thinking and from hurting others. Melt our impatience and fill us with your spirit. Help us to approach all that we do, the gifts and the greetings and the meals, not as chores, but as opportunities to show your love and care. And may those for whom Christmas is especially difficult this year particularly feel your presence surrounding them. For those who know the bitterness of loss and grief, fill them with your peace. For those who know hardship and want, may they know your strength. For those whose lives are unstable or uncertain, fill them with your comfort. For those whose health is compromised, cover them with your healing and love. For those whose business or job is in jeopardy, inspire them with your hope. Remind us all that as we go through the dark valleys of life, we are not alone. And as you are with us, may we also be with others, and may your hope and peace, your joy and love be fulfilled through us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray, and we pray together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You, Trinity, we thank you for your generosity each week, and for the ways that your gifts provide for the ministry of Trinity so that we can impact our community and our world. Each week we give of ourselves as we give of our finances. As the offering plates come around this morning, you're also invited to place in them your connection cards, and that helps to let us know that you are here and to be able to stay connected with you. So we sure do appreciate that. Let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray with me. Thank you, God, for the privilege of sharing your blessings with those in need as we seek to walk in your ways and to follow where you lead. As we share the good news of salvation through these gifts and by the way in which we live, may all your people be made ready for Christ's coming.
closer to the manger and to that celebration of the good news coming into the world to be among us. And this morning, then, on this last Sunday in the season of Advent, it's fitting for us to pause and to consider Mary, the one who will give birth, the one who will bear this child as he prepares to enter the world. The Gospel of Luke picks up the story of Mary around the middle of the first chapter, and it's there that we hear first about the angel Gabriel coming to visit her and to announce to her the news that she will bear a child. Even though she is young and she is betrothed but not yet married, she is going to be pregnant and give birth. And then following that announcement, Mary goes quickly, Luke tells us, to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who has also, not long before, received news that she too is pregnant with a child, the one who will be called John the Baptist and will prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. And so after that, once Mary has arrived at Elizabeth and they have greeted one another, it is at that point that we get to the place of our scripture for today, which in today's times is often known as the Song of Mary, or sometimes referred to as the Magnificat. And so I'll be reading for you those words spoken from Mary's lips according to Luke's Gospel. I invite you to follow along now as I read them for us. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." And then notice right here the attention of her song shifts from herself and what God is doing for her to what God will do for the world. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this sermon, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives on this day. Amen. It was just a few weeks ago that I had the opportunity to attend a benefit luncheon for PACE Center for Girls. That luncheon, for a number of years now, has actually happened right here in Side B, we sometimes refer to it, of the Trinity Worship Center, and a space that can be set up for events like that. And every year, this event is held in order to raise much-needed funds to support the work of PACE. Now, PACE is an organization in our community who is making a difference in the lives of girls between the ages of 11 and 18. At a time when they are vulnerable anyway, these particular girls who are helped by PACE have experienced a variety of traumas in their lives, most of them. Some of them have been abused, either emotionally or verbally or sexually. Some of them have not only witnessed substance abuse by one or more parents, but have also, in some cases, begun abusing themselves. A number of them have been in the foster care system. A number of them have had one or more parents incarcerated and in prison. And so these and other circumstances, you can imagine, create a variety of risk factors for these girls. And PACE is stepping in to make a difference in their lives. This year was the first time I had the opportunity to attend the luncheon, and let me just tell you that it was an extraordinary event. Walking into this lobby and having some of those girls be the ones to greet us and show hospitality with confidence and with courage to say hello and to welcome leaders from across the community to that event. And then to come in and as the luncheon went on, for them to participate by singing and by speaking eloquently and by offering dramatic readings that helped tell the stories of their backgrounds and their lives. It was truly a remarkable day. If you go to the Pace website, you see this passion listed there. It says, our passion, Pace Alachua is dedicated to serving At Promise girls. I love that idea. At Promise girls. By helping them find their voice and providing tools to help them reach their full potential. Most girls come to us at a very critical time in their lives. A time when they are faced with challenging decisions and life circumstances that could shape the course of their future. A time when they are faced with challenging decisions and life circumstances that could shape the course of their future. That sounds to me a lot like a girl named Mary. A teenage girl, female, and child. And in those days, both of those things meant that she would have largely been considered as property. And based on those circumstances, combined with the fact that from the context of today's scripture, we hear that she was of lowly estate, Mary, that teenage girl, would have had a lot of reasons to doubt herself. She would have had a lot of reasons to feel as if she was of little worth. Mary was accustomed to going along with whatever those who were in authority around her told her was supposed to happen, I'm sure. And so the miracle of the story about Mary in the first chapter of Luke is not that she responded obediently to the angel Gabriel when she said, let it be to me. I mean, that was her whole life. Mary would have been saying that all of her life up to that point. She had no rights. She had no privileges. She was young and she was female. So she would have been accustomed to saying, let it be to me as you have said. The remarkable thing, the miracle in this story is the song that comes from her lips in today's scripture. The Magnificat. A song that announces a radical new thing that God is doing, not only for her and through her, but a thing that God is doing for all people. It is remarkable that somehow in this passage of Scripture, in this moment, Mary summons up a confidence in her own worth and also a confidence in a God who now is going to lift up all of those who have ever felt disregarded or of little worth in some way or another. And the word that she is able to use as she announces what God is going to do, the word that she is able to use in speaking of herself is the word blessed. Imagine that. Mary, in this moment, says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. You know, that word that she uses in today's scripture serves as a foreshadowing of the life and the ministry of Jesus, because he goes around blessing the lives of those who have thought that they were of little worth. In fact, if you remember, when he is preaching one day from a mountaintop and he speaks out to the crowd, it is that same word that he uses in what we have come to know as the Beatitudes. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. this is good news that is coming today. Because the babe in the womb is the one who comes not only to lift Mary up, but so that every soul might feel its worth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. And Luke makes sure to include plenty of representatives for us in his story so that we will know that the news that comes to Mary is meant for all people, that Emmanuel is not just for one or even for some, that Emmanuel is for everyone. And so we get some examples of that. We get the examples of him coming and include, of Luke including both poor and rich in the story. There are both shepherds and magi who will receive the news and come to welcome the Holy Child. We get the news of both female and male, Anna and Simeon in the temple, receiving the news and giving thanks and praise to God. We get the news that both old and young, Elizabeth and Mary, will bear children who will grow up and both profoundly impact the world. Emmanuel comes both for all of us, and so in this story, in the babe that comes to be among us, what we are encountering is the fulfillment of what God had promised to the people of Israel so many generations before. In the Torah, they reminded themselves of this promise. In Leviticus 26, where God says, I will walk among you, and I will be your God. And then in today's story, there is this wonderful twist that is so important for us to notice. Elizabeth, the cousin, plays a role that we too often overlook in the story. Remember that Mary has the visit from the angel Gabriel. But then it's not right after that visit where the angel announces what is to be that Mary sings her song. Mary first goes quickly to Elizabeth's house. And in that part of the story, as soon as Mary comes into the house, Elizabeth feels the child that she is bearing in her womb kick and react, and then Elizabeth pronounces a blessing over Mary. In fact, in just a few short verses in the first chapter of Luke, we hear Elizabeth use the word blessed three times to speak of Mary's newfound status. Mary's trust in God and in the news that comes through the angel becomes partnered with the gift of affirmation that she receives from another human being, her own cousin Elizabeth. And it's not until that moment comes that then she is able to sing her song. Isn't that the way it is quite often? There is the good news of God loving all of humanity, of God assigning sacred worth to each and every one of us. And then often there is the need for us to hear it in some way from someone that can speak it to us, another human being. So we can hear it in a way that we can then claim it for ourselves. And so after Elizabeth has announced to Mary, you are blessed. You are blessed. You, my child, are blessed. Then Mary is able to take up that word for herself and say yes from all her men. the last couple of weeks, Catherine and I have been receiving Christmas cards from friends and acquaintances, some of whom we have known for dozens of years. I'm sure you all have received some of the same. And it's always a joy to hear from people this time of year. I love seeing pictures of children who have been born, and then ones that have graduated from school, and then ones that are getting married, and then having children of their own. And the pictures, oh, the pictures are so much fun to see. And at the same time, I know that perhaps for somebody out there, as you receive those kinds of cards, after you've received a few of them, it can feel overwhelming. So many cards and stories that seem picture perfect, and life is all tied up neatly in a package. And it doesn't seem or sound like your own life. And so maybe you even begin to question your own sense of worth. I was grateful for one card that we received this year that was unlike any we've ever received before. From a friend we've known for a long time, who in most years past had sent out that Christmas card with wonderful pictures and a happy story about all that was happening in their lives. But after not hearing from her for a couple of years, this year's card was different. There was still a wonderful picture of all the family gathered together, but this year, our friend shared honestly her story of brokenness. The story of how after years of raising children, and being actively involved in the community and the church, and then seeing those children begin to raise children, and then entering into what she deemed were the sunset years of her life, she began to experience depression. And in that depression, she went looking for help, and she received medication. And then that medication became over-medication. And the combination of the medication and the depression kept spiraling her into a darker and darker place. She shared honestly about the journey that she's been on, and she was able to share the good news of this particular Advent season, of seeing the light as she was coming out of that place. Because all along the way, through the midst of it all, two things held constant. There was a faith that deep inside continued to ground her at some level. And there were friends and family members who through it all kept reminding her how much she was loved and how much her life mattered. A God who had announced sacred worth over her life from the very beginning, and friends and kept reminding her of the same. This Christmas, I hope you know. I hope each and every one of you knows how much you matter to God. How much God knows. And I hope that you have people in your life who are speaking that sacred word over you and reminding you of it. And if you do, then as a follower of Christ, I hope that you are helping others to know it. Because to a teenage girl, to a depressed grandmother, to a stressed co-worker, to a troubled neighbor, to a sick friend, it could make all the difference. Thank you. thanks for Mary's story. As we remember how much she mattered to you, may we be reminded of our own sacred roots. And may we be encouraged to share the good news of that work.
That is built upon God's love and God's mercy. Mercies that remind us that God has never stopped pursuing us. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when He first formed us, God has loved each and every one of us. And God fulfilled God's promises to Abraham and to the entire world by not only freeing Israel from slavery, but bringing Christ, who frees us from whatever chains we may. And then as we remember Christ's sacrificial love poured out on the cross for each of us and the power of His resurrection, we are invited to a table that is meant to be a means of grace so that every soul will feel its worth. Every soul will know that they are infinitely loved and blessed by God, favored by God, and offered an opportunity to trust in that love, to respond to that love, and to come and receive a means of grace, a reminder of that love. And as we come and we receive, we are given an opportunity then to let that love continue. And then to go out into the world, not only able to recognize that we are loved for who we are, but that God has created everyone be a vessel of God's love. And suddenly our eyes can be open to see others and what God sees them. And we can speak those same words of God into their lives. And so Christ took bread, gave thanks to the Father, broke the bread, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance." And then He took the cup, and He gave thanks to the Father, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." It's Christ. Almighty God, love. Pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here and on this bread and cup, that it may be for us the body and blood of Christ that redeems us and makes us the body of Christ in the world. By the incredible power of your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other until every soul knows its sacred worth in you, and we are able to speak that love and share. Lord, may this be so until you come again and find our victory and we feast together around your heavenly kingdom. Through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through your church, help us experience the love that we each crave and help us be loved in the world. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to serve with us to go ahead and come forward now. Thank you. plate and the table. This is Christ's table. This is God's love poured out for each and every one of us. And you can simply come because you are responding to that love. And you are wanting that love to seep into those places where you need it the most. And to fill up your soul so that it feels its sacred worth. And then go out to bear that image in the world. As you come forward, we'll start with the front rows in each section. You can exit to the left, come forward, and we're going to pull off a chunk of that love, evidence of God's love. And we're going to hand it to you. And then take the bread and dip it into the cup. And then eat it. And then you can come and kneel and pray on either side if you would like. Or you can return by the right side of your section. You're welcome to sing. You're welcome to use this time any way you need it this morning. Know that Christ wants to meet you here this morning and fill you with a love that is contagious and unusual. If you need gluten-free, we have it. Just ask on either side. It looks like everything's ready.
Love came down to Bethlehem while the world was asleep.
Amazing Grace by Chance Ergon. And watch out, there's a couple Christmas-themed lyrics in there, so just jump in when you get it.
Amazing Grace, how sweet.
As you prepare to go out today, I want to invite you into a simple way to help others know that they are loved and valued tomorrow. Tomorrow for Christmas Eve, we will likely welcome somewhere between 2,000 and 2,500 people here for worship. For many of them, this is the one time of year they will come, or at least that has been the case. For some, it will be the first time they've stepped foot in a worship center in a long, long time. The more that we make them feel welcome and cared for, the better and the more good news they experience. We can all do that in our own impromptu ways, but I'd love to invite you to be a part of doing it in intentional ways. And one of our staff members, Carmen, is out in the lobby today, and she would love to talk with you about one of several different ways you could do that. Feel free to stop by and speak with her as you go out today. And I look forward to seeing many of you. And for those that I won't, wish you a very Merry Christmas as you go into the rest of this season. Go out today trusting in the God who has pronounced sacred worth over your life. In the good news of Jesus Christ who comes to bear God's resemblance among us in the world. And in the power of the Holy Spirit that sustains us for faithfulness.